from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. On August 31st, we'll be in Gainesville. We will kick our coverage off at 11 a.m., and we're very proud of the pregame show we're putting together for everybody. So early pregame show, 11 a.m., please join us on Saturday, August 31st. Don and I will have the call at 3:30 for Miami and Florida. Joining us right now is one of the great college football writers in our country, Bruce Feldman. You can catch Bruce on Twitter at Bruce Feldman CFB, or of course in The Athletic. And Bruce has a great article coming up on the University of Miami, which we'll talk about here in a moment. But Bruce, thanks for joining us, and good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the kind words, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Okay, University of Miami, if a Hurricane fan tomorrow when they wake up and they look at The Athletic, they'll probably see some kind words. Your view on the UM this year, you're pretty high on them, right?
I am. Everything I've heard from people I trust down there inside the building has been different than it's been in I don't know how long. And I'm talking, 20 years. Now, I'll be honest, I thought there was a stretch, and Randy Shannon got the job. I was like, okay, he's going to tap into the players locally and it's going to take off, and it didn't. And ever since, for the last decade, it just feels like it has been, they are playing with a short stick, quite honestly. They're not competing at the same level with the Alabamas and Georgias and Ohio States. That changed now, though. I think with Mario Cristobal coming back, and I think with the commitment to NIL and the way they've gone in this offseason, and I think they got the right mix of people. I'm not saying they're going to win a national title this year, but when the playoff happens this year, 12 teams, I think Miami's going to be one of the 12.
Hey, Bruce, Don Bailey, how are you?
I'm doing great, Don. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I always enjoy your stuff. Hey, when you take the overall look at college football and you're trying to pick the top 20 in today's world of college football or top 25, what are some of the things that have changed over the years to what people used to look at versus what they have to look at today? And, for example, the roster turnover. There's 41 new players at the University of Miami, where in the past you might have had 15 or 20 guys. It's basically double that number, and that number's basically even or are in range of everybody else. So when you're looking at it and you're trying to project, where's this team going to be? What else do you look for?
I think it's hard to have continuity. I mean, arguably the most talented player on the Alabama team last year was a freshman. You know, he led them in tackles. Caleb Downs. Caleb Downs is gone. He's now, you know, got a big NIL deal at Ohio State, you know, and I think that is, you know, it's Alabama. It's not like, oh, this guy left Troy and this guy left Virginia Tech or this guy left Baylor. I mean, we're talking about it's just very transactional. And I'm not saying this is a terrible thing or anything like that. I'm saying it's just way different now because of the portal, because, you know, I go to the Elite 11 where most of the top high school quarterbacks in the country will compete for a week. And you can talk about how great this kid looks or that kid looks and what they think. But the truth is, now we've seen after a few years, especially with the portal, half these guys, if not more, will end up finishing their career somewhere other than where they started. And I think it's just I think that what it does is it changes the culture of a lot of programs that had consistently been established. I also think, you know, it makes the mix of who you get. And I think it makes leadership in the locker room that much more critical. And I also think it makes it critical how adaptable coaching staffs are. I mean, look, I think Mike Norvell has done a terrific job mining the portal. You look at what that team was when they went 13-0, most of their best players on the field were all guys who started their career somewhere else, and they flourished in Tallahassee under him, you know, and I think that is different than what it was like just a few years earlier.
Bruce Feldman from The Athletic is our guest. Bruce will have a very interesting piece on the University of Miami tomorrow in The Athletic. So get your athletic prescription and check it out tomorrow. In your work with Fox, did you see Damian Martinez or Cam Ward?
I did, and I've, you know, been around Cam Ward a little more. We did some, you know, Wazoo games, and the coach who had him at Incarnate Word, and have heard really glowing things about the guys I know at UM. Damian Martinez, I mean, you know Jonathan Smith, his old coach at Oregon State, pretty well. He was a very well-kept secret, you know, out on the West Coast, a big physical back who can make people miss a little bit and is probably faster than you think. And I think for what Mario Cristobal wants, and you see the remnants of that on the Oregon team that a lot of people think is going to make a national title run, big, physical, and athletic, that's what he is, right? What I think with Cam Ward, which I think has been a great addition for Miami, is they've had quarterbacks there who could do this or do that and had some, you know, definitely had some talent, but I don't think they had kind of a leader like him in the locker room. And I think that what he's brought, coupled with this is the best offensive line he's ever played behind. Yeah. Cause he's had some issues, you know, turning over the football and everything at times, but I feel like there's been for him, a challenge of trying to almost do everything because he was a lot of times, you know, punching up against teams that had more talent around them. And so at Miami, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's got a really good group of receivers. He's got a terrific, you know, running back headliner with Martinez and depth behind it. And he's got a huge offensive line. I think this is a perfect situation for him. And I think everything I've heard is, you have a guy who has a tremendous amount of belief in himself, but I also think he is really looking to prove it to a lot of other people that he's as good as he thinks he is.
Don has another question for you, but first, I have to say one thing. So I spent the afternoon at the doctor today, so I think I had prescription on my head. Subscription, please. Get your subscription to The Athletic. You can get a prescription, too, if you want, but it probably would pay better to get a subscription.
It's probably right, a little Don? Cheaper to get the subscription at this point.
Sorry. All right, Don.
The only one that knows that you messed up, Joe, was you. You know what I mean? That's all right, Joe. It's okay. Bruce, where's college football going? Like, you know, you said that, you know, everybody can move. It's so fluid. Is this the way it's going to be, or does it get tightened up a little bit, or are the rules ever going to change, or are there ever going to be any rules? Maybe is the right question.
Yeah, Don, I don't think the toothpaste going back in the tube at any time soon, because what we've seen is the money has increased dramatically. Look, Joe said it before, I worked for Fox Sports also, and Fox Sports is heavily invested, especially in the Big Ten. You know, ESPN is really behind, especially the SEC. And those things are just going to continue to grow. We've seen TV numbers are pretty big in terms of ratings. So that, there's that. And I think the season's gotten longer. Like, Don, when you played, now it's 40 plus years ago. The schedule, like, now we're going to be talking about these games are going into, for some teams, are going to go into late January, right? And that's so right. That's way different. I'm sure we had this conversation 15 years ago, but the NCAA has always been kind of a fraudulent operation in how it polices, in parentheses or in quotes. And now I think that has been kind of rendered kind of silly in how it operates. And so now there's, I don't want to say the facade isn't there anymore, because there's still some of it, but it's just like kind of a toothless operation that tries to get out in front of things. And now I think everybody's just like, what do we need the NCAA for? So where does that head to, you know, 5 years from now, as it becomes like superpowers and the smaller, you know, institutions that are also a part of the NCAA, maybe they don't have as much say so in the operation. I don't think that's going to like become more impactful. It's only going to get, you know, less tied down to that. So it's much more the wild, wild west now than it probably was 10 years ago.
What are we going to do, Bruce, with the conferences? Obviously, Miami's in the ACC. We got a little deal here going on with Clemson and Florida State. Does the ACC survive?
Man, I don't know. It's rare to have that outward, like, saber-rattling, you know, which you have with some of the leadership of Florida State. And I think, you know, it's tough because right now they're in the shadow somewhat geographically of the SEC, and ESPN runs, you know, has it's heavily invested in both, but way more so in the SEC. And, you know, are they going to bid against themselves for this, for whatever's coming out of there? I mean, I'm fascinated to see. Obviously I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know who knows how some of those things are going to unfold, if it ends up in courts or it's contested legally. I mean, I think anybody who tells you they know where that's going to ultimately go, I think is lying to you, because I just don't think people really have a feel for where that could go. I'm sure, you know, if you're Florida State, you want a certain outcome, but I don't know if it's going to play out the way they want it to. It's so complicated and so messy right now. And again, because of the TV part of it, I think it's hard to predict, much less the legal side of it.
Do people have any idea? I mean, the general public, have they been able to put a perspective on the cost of NIL and what this is meant to programs?
No, because I think because it varies so much, and a lot of it's murky. You know, you don't know how much, you know, I've heard dollar figures on what like the Oregon roster might be at, or the payroll, or what Ohio State's is around, or what USC's is around. But then there's other things of it. Like, I'll give you, for instance, like when Bryce Young was at Alabama, he obviously won a Heisman. He was very marketable, but he was getting, my understanding was, he was getting a lot of the money from, you know, national corporate deals. You know, Caleb Williams, I think it was American Airlines. That's a lot of money. And that wasn't coming from USC necessarily. So the money, you know, that maybe you would think you'd have to pay for like a superstar college quarterback like that, that money wasn't, you know, coming out of them. So maybe, and I believe this was the case with both guys, it was like, hey, take that money you think you'd have to pay for me and give it to my teammates, right? Or give some of it to my teammates. And I think those are the things that are hard to kind of sort out, you know. And there's layers of this where, you know, we did a big thing on The Athletic, you know, in the spring about like a confidential piece, and where I talked to a lot of players. It was fascinating because a lot of guys think that they are getting, you know, they have a $800,000 NIL deal. And one of the players I talked to who's now in the NFL, but was there a college player last year. He was like, no, you don't have $800,000 in this deal. You have maybe a house that you live in for 6 months that might be worth $500,000, but you don't own it. You just have access to it for, you know, half a year. You have a car that might be a $100,000 car, but you don't own it. You just have access to it for, you know, so it's like some of those other things that are involved. I think it, I don't want to say it becomes like a shell game, but it's just very, it's like the accounting of it, I think, is really tricky and challenging to sort out.
Bruce Feldman of The Athletic is our guest. I think Ohio State has one of the easiest paths to the playoffs. And the reason I say that is because you look at these new schedules inside the Big Ten, and some of these teams are crisscrossing. But Ohio State basically has four road games, one of which is Northwestern, which is going to play in a makeshift stadium this year.
Yeah, now they do have one heavyweight road trip. Well, they have two, actually. I mean, but one is they go to Oregon. That's a tough place to play, yeah. Mid-October. And then I think they might have a week in between. Like, they have Nebraska in between, but then there's like a bye week somewhere in there. But then they play at Penn State, which is, you know, which is a team that's close to them talent-wise. So they, at least the way the schedule breaks for them, you know, they have two really tough road games in there. I get what you're saying about Northwestern. That's like, and Joe, even if they weren't playing in that stadium, if they were playing in the old stadium, because we did a Friday night game where Ohio State played at Penn State, it's like a high school stadium. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not, you know, and then I think I think they have a Michigan State trip, and obviously they play, they host Michigan at the end of the year. I think what the difference for Ohio State is, like, to me, I will say this, Ohio State has probably as tough of a schedule as you could have right now in the Big Ten, because they have road trips to Oregon and Penn State, and they still got to play Michigan. You know, there are teams there that, you know, they may miss one of those three teams, because not playing USC, I don't think, is a big deal because Caleb's not there. And I don't think the Big Ten West, you know, whether, you know, they still play Iowa, but they get Iowa at home. Iowa's a pretty good team. What the remnants of what, you know, it's not the Big Ten West anymore. You know, it's like one division, but, you know, it's not like there's, you know, Nebraska isn't a Tommy Frazier Nebraska or anything like that. So I'll give it to the Buckeyes. I think this is, yeah, this is a national title caliber team, considering they have so many guys who opted to return instead of going to the NFL. I think they're going to be a really dangerous team. I think they will, when the final game is played, I think they're going to be in it. I think they are one of the two best teams in the country.
Okay, last thing before we let you go. Bruce Feldman with us, Athletic tomorrow. Going to diagnose the University of Miami. Back to your thoughts on UM. I remember I spoke with you, I think it was 2 years ago at the Big Ten media. We were talking about some player, doesn't matter who, but really your overall thought was, well, he's not going to really help that much. Your thought basically was University of Miami talent was behind the eight ball. That's kind of how we started this conversation. But you think now, as we go into this season, Mario has taken their talent level that is – up with the big boys, up maybe not Ohio State, Alabama, or whatever, but they're getting there. They're pretty close.
I think they're getting there. I mean, because they have like eight dudes on the D-line now, you know, that can play. They have a quarterback who I don't doubt that he could be a first-round pick. I think he's got that much of ability. You know, they got three really good receivers who are ready to go now that Sam Brown's there. We talked about Damian Martinez. You know, you mentioned like Alabama, you mentioned, you know, Ohio State. I think Oregon's good, obviously Georgia. But like, you know, Alabama is like, that was not Nick Saban's most talented roster. Now they have a coaching change. I mean, they're good, but it's not like Alabama's the team that we remember from 5 years ago roster wise. Yeah. I don't think they are that, right? I don't, you know, that group that had all those receivers, like, they don't have proven guys like that. And I look at, you know, some, you know, other teams have questions. You know, if you ask me who's a more talented quarterback, the guy who's going to start at Ohio State or the guy who's going to start, at Miami, I would say the guy who's going to start at Miami, you know. And, you know, Mario Cristobal, say what you want, he knows how, he knows what it looks like to recruit talent, especially when it comes to guys in the trenches. Like, I think the O-line is closer to being where he thinks it needs to be. And I just think with the portal, if he didn't have the portal, if Miami didn't, I don't think this could have, I think they're probably a year or two ahead of where they would have been or could have been without it. And I know for people who look at it and go, yeah, they were kind of a dud last year. Keep in mind, this team in his first year that he was there, when they played Clemson and when they played Florida State, they lost by like 75 combined points. Last year, they beat Clemson.
Right.
They almost beat Florida State and Tallahassee. And I think they were, you know, they were playing with a backup quarterback, no less. Now, there were games where they stubbed their toe, right?
You know, if they had called the safety in the Florida State game, they would have won.
There you have it, right? But I think the challenge for them is going to be to play, and they're still college kids, and it's consistency is an issue. But if they play with the attitude and the, you know, that they brought to Texas, brought when they played Texas A&M or against Clemson, right, with the upgrade in talent right now, I think they are a team that not only can get in the playoff, I think they're a team that could do damage in the playoff. And once you get to a point like that, I think what we will see is if this team gets rolling by November, you have a big time quarterback with some weapons, and they seem like they have pretty good depth. I mean, they could be dangerous.
Yep. All right. So your piece is going to drop tomorrow in The Athletic?
It is. So it's really a look at the playoff, and I mean, kind of just where Miami could be and where I think they will be.
All right. Very good. Thank you. You've been generous with your time. Thanks a lot. Hope our paths cross during this college football season, and we'll be reading all your college football stories because it's a great time of the year, and college football is the best. So thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be on with you guys. Thanks.
All right. Bruce Feldman, who has family down here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.